Rules. Why don't you open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 951, revising the process for obtaining energy facility site certificates, and bring up Mr. Hall and Mr. Gallagher. We'll have a work session on this bill.
Is this yours?
951.
Which one do you want?
Might be mine.
That's yours.
Mr. Hall, we have this bill is back in front of us. Is it in the current form ready to go out?
Mr. Chairman, with the amendments that you have is a copy of the A7 amendments, which is the funding for the task force. It's $150,000 dedicated for the use or the expenses of the task force, and it's our assumption that it would be any unused balance would be credited back. Yes, with the adoption, those were ready to go out.
With the adoption of the dash A7.
With the adoption of the A7.
Does this create a ways and means issue?
No.
Mr. Chair, Tom Gallagher, there's a budget note in your file accompanying this that solves the ways and means problem.
Where the hell did it get down in there?
Oh, all right. There's a budget note already been drafted in possession of your council that solves the ways and means problem.
Okay. Anybody want to move the dash A7 amendments?
Sevens?
A7.
So moved, Mr.
Chair. So moved by Representative Watt, dash A7 amendments. Any objection to that?
Nope.
Hearing none, the amendments are adopted.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Watt moves Senate Bill 951 as amended to before the due pass recommendation.
Yours or mine?
Any discussion? Clerk, please call roll.
Representative Courtney.
Yes.
Representative Lucas.
Aye.
Representative Markham.
Aye.
Representative Mills.
Aye.
Representative Roberts.
Aye.
Representative Watt.
Yes.
Representative
Beyer. Aye.
Representative Ball. Yes. Senate Bill 951 is forwarded before the due pass recommendation. Volunteer carriers. Energy facility siting.
Representative Corcoran volunteer.
Oh, I don't think I want to do that to him. You know how these Irishmen get. Representative Baum will carry that bill, obviously. I'd like to do this. Thank you to serve. I appreciate the help.
That's mine.
Now we open a work session on Senate Bill 323, which came to us through a paperwork snafu, so we was heard back off the floor, so we back in our possession.
Oh, okay.
Remember. But you don't have that.
Had to send the loose on the floor.
So, Mr. Chair.
Representative Watt.
Move passage of Senate Bill 323 to the floor of the due pass.
Representative Watt moves Senate Bill 323 to the
C engrossed.
To the floor. The due pass recommendation. This is the capital gains we sent back so Representative Beyer can get his minority report in. Right?
Correct.
You with us now, Representative Courtney?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Clerk, will please call roll.
Representative Corcoran.
Nope.
Representative Courtney.
No.
Representative Lundquist.
Aye.
Representative Markham.
Aye.
Representative Mills.
Aye.
Representative Roberts.
Aye.
Representative Watt.
Yes.
Representative Beyer.
No, and serve notice of minority report.
Chair Baum.
Yes. Senate Bill 323 is forwarded to the floor. The due pass recommendation. Close the work session on that. Representative Schoon will carry that bill. We have a carrier for 979 this morning. What bill did you need a carrier?
979 was this morning.
Not this morning.
We don't have one on
979.
Crap.
That was the Medical Association bill. Do we have any volunteer carriers in 979? If you remember that bill, remember that one, we moved that one. Representative Corcoran.
Sure.
979. You want to carry it, Representative Beyer? Which one?
You can. Okay. No, go ahead. I don't care.
Representative Beyer, why don't you carry that one?
That's moving along pretty good. Why don't you just open a work session? We'll just start moving bills.
Well, Representative.
Seems to be pretty time efficient.
Now where? Let's take up Senate Bill 892.
Oh boy, that looks like.
What is that?
Oh. Don't be judged. Okay,
I have to.
Okay. Okay, let's open up a public hearing on 892. We have a list here, Jim Gardner, Al Elkins, and Larry Harvey together.
Senator Kennedy.
Oh, Senator Kennedy, didn't see you.
Uh-oh.
We move in some more of your bills for you.
Well, committee, go again.
You went out 979 relatively unscathed. How'd that happen?
I did. Well, because you have a good committee and you recognize a good bill when you see it, Mr. Chairman.
Right.
Well, we saw this last session.
That's
good membership of our committee.
Saw this last session, didn't we?
Did you see this last session? Did you see this last session? I don't think so.
No.
Well, it's being polite.
For the record, Bill Cantermer, State Senator, District 12. 892 is a consensus bill. It started out as a very contentious bill. It's about a problem with parking of rental cars in Portland. And incidentally, the impact of this is limited to Portland. You'll see that it designates only Portland. We had a problem that people kept parking their rental cars, and under state law, the owner of the car is responsible for tickets. Well, that created a problem in that people were renting these cars, parking them, going back out of state after their journey was over in Oregon, and leaving these tickets behind. The car rental companies felt like they were not responsible. Judge Abraham felt otherwise, and it created an ugly stalemate. And I got the parties together, we started talking about it, and we came up with a compromise. Essentially, the compromise allows for an expedited mailing of these citations. The car companies pay the citations and charge it to the people's credit cards, which is a system that works in a lot of other major cities. I think at this point we can say everybody's on board. The car rental companies are, the city of Portland, Judge Abraham, and I think we've resolved a fight that's been going on for dang near 40 years and gotten very intense in the last 10 years. Basically, also the judge realized the past due debts were probably uncollectible, and so it was time to say goodbye to those as part of the compromise in making this work. I think we've ironed out the details, and I think it's ready to fly.
Mr. Chairman, I want to be clear. I think you said this, but the city and the courts recognize that what you're doing is they're not going to be able to collect on these.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, Representative Beyer, the position is that probably because of their not being able to collect on those and some other debts, they weren't going to collect them anyhow. So the reality is they were going to lose them, and so it's easier to kiss a goodbye and start with a fresh slate.
Was there any chance the rental cars could be equipped with photo radar?
Well, that's one of my favorite bills.
Did that ever get out of the Senate?
It did.
Oh, that's...
That's where it started, Chair.
Yeah. I'm sorry to report.
Roberts.
Do I understand, Senator, that the rental cars, rental folks can charge those who had rented the car and received the ticket?
That is correct, Representative Roberts. So they will receive a notification when they rent the car that their charges are subject to that.
That was my next question. Now, they will be informed that regardless, they will be held responsible, and most people...
They will be fully informed.
Charge it back.
That is correct.
Thank you.
Okay, let's open up a work session, Senate Bill 892. Do you have any amendments to this bill, Senator?
No, I think it's ready to fly.
Does anybody want to say anything?
I'll move it. I'll fly it.
Representative Corcoran, Representative Roberts, move Senate Bill 892 and goes to the floor if we do pass recommendation. Clerk, will please call the roll.
Representative Corcoran.
Aye.
Representative Horton.
Yes.
Representative Lindquist.
Aye.
Senator Markham.
Yes.
Senator Milne.
Aye.
Senator Roberts.
Aye.
Senator Watt.
Yes.
Just
Senator
for the
Meyer.
Senate.
Aye.
Chair Baum.
Votes yes. Senate Bill 892 is forward to the floor. Who wants to carry this for the city of Portland since we do a lot of the water carrying around here? Representative Roberts. You ever get a list from
carry the water
couple of women to each other in this process and take care of things all over the place? Okay.
What are you talking about?
Never talk about. Let's not talk about the mayor and the speaker, but we're moving right along. Let's go ahead. Let's try a little bit of. Senate Bill 927.
927.
Is that ready to go?
Yep.
Let's do it. All right. Senate Bill 927.
I want to get my file here.
Let me get my amendment.
Senator, you can call me Lynn Lundquist.
Does not repeat.
Oh.
Here's where we all give the Eastern
Oregon.
Well,
I'm certainly glad that we have a variety of folks to testify on this one.
Oh, self-service.
A nice little one here.
No, I know. I just wanted to say that.
Thank you for putting it on.
You want a bunch of hearts to stop, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We got amendments. Yeah.
Let's ask John McCulley to join our distinguished representative from Powell Butte. Are you in support of this?
Yes, sir.
Oh, a blessed boy. Carol Washburn. Oh, why don't you wait? Are you for or against? Or you just marked in the middle.
Mark who?
Oh, well, can you wait, please? I'll bring you up with the other people that have concerns in the next panel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Lynn Lundquist from District 59. This bill is not what everyone thinks it is. It's not doing away with the ban on self-service gas. Actually, the whole reason for this bill and its initial stage and why we put it in here is, as it presently, under the present law, card lock is allowed as an exemption of the normal situation if you are 10 miles from another point of service. And all we're doing, if you notice on page 2 of the bill, line 42, is we reduce the 10 miles to 7 miles. And that's the major intent of the bill. Another, and obviously the reason for this, is try to help those communities. There's maybe three to five communities that might be able to use card lock because of this change in the law. Also, on line 25 of page 2, it speaks of a new area, not really new, it's very similar to the other one, as it says, used for purposes of the business for conducting government agency activity or for conducting nonprofit or charitable organization activity. The fire marshals has had some concern with that. What we're really trying to do there, basically, is to allow, if you notice in the line 23 above that, it speaks about owned and used by the business. We want to make it absolutely sure in the law that they can use leased vehicles. There are many municipalities that can't afford to own a vehicle, and they go their cash flow is such that they use leased vehicles instead of it. As I said, the fire marshal's office had some concern with that, and I met with them this morning. And I want to make it clear for the record, because they have agreed that by administrative rule that they can do what I'm going to read in the record now. Where the motor vehicle or other container is not owned by the business, government agency, or nonprofit or charitable organization, the non-retail customer shall provide to the owner-operator documentation to identify the vehicle, the person, or the persons using the vehicle, and the person or person's affiliation with the business, government agency, or nonprofit or charitable. Such documentation shall include a copy of the vehicle registration, the driver's name and position with the business, government agency, or nonprofit charitable organization. What that says is here that we're not opening this up to anything that we already have at the present time. And we do not want to have someone with a personal vehicle, because they work for a business, to be out fueling their vehicle, their own vehicle, on a business under this business exclusion for the card lock. There's one other facet of this, and that is in the ORS 480.315, it speaks of repealing that. And what this is, and it's quite comical, and I perhaps should have provided copies for this. These are the findings that speak to self-service gasoline and why we shouldn't have self-service gasoline in Oregon because of these findings. And for example, one of them speaks about it increases the risk of crime and increased risk of personal injury resulting from slipping on slick surfaces. Says the dangers of the crime and slick surfaces described in the one above are enhanced because Oregon's weather is uniquely adverse, causing wet pavement and reduced visibility. Going on, a little selection here, it says because of self-service, you're going to have a neglect of maintenance. It speaks to the diminishing availability of automotive repair facilities at gasoline stations, and I think history indicates that that has happened in Oregon, irrespective of anything to do with self-serve. Quoting from some section 13, it says it promotes public welfare, and on and on. So the concept here is simply, let's be realistic about it. and take these out of the ORSs. Now, I want to make sure everyone on the committee understands this is a very, very delicate subject. And we've worked hard to bring all to bring the players, and we have most of them on board. You may have a little bit of opponent testimony, but this is a very precarious situation, and we do not want any amendments to it. The agreement, when it came out of the Senate, with the Senate chairman and with the consumers and the lobbyists involved, was the fact that we would not mess with this bill when it came on the House side. So I'd prefer to have it passed as is, as for those reasons. And with that, I'd...
One question. Oh, I'm sorry. You want to ask about the Dash 6?
Yeah. We have a Dash 6 amendment. Is that not your amendment?
That is not my amendment.
That's not your amendment, and you prefer not to have those amendments passed into the law.
And I recognize that one of the committees...
Regardless of how much you respect me.
I understand that. The astute representative has this amendment. I told him it's simply that we lose the bill if we put any amendments on it.
The astute...
Your amendment?
Okay.
My amendment.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Corcoran.
I have a technical question here. Page 2, line 25, it says, used for the purposes of business. Does that include cattle rustling, Representative?
That is one of the better businesses. We'll only do that in Burns now because telecommunications allow us to get by with that.
Now, is Burns where the donuts are?
It's the whole of the donuts.
Oh,
sir.
Thank you.
Okay. Next guy.
Mr. Chair, John McCulley, representing Agriculture Cooperative Council of Oregon. Representative Lundquist, I think, has very well described the bill that we support. I think it's important to note when you look at this language talking about used for the purposes of a business that it still requires that 2,400 gallons be purchased for that activity. So it's not like anybody is going to be able to use these facilities. In addition, I've handed out my testimony and tried to identify some of the towns around the state that I think would be affected by the mileage change. And I think there are three. The total population of all of those towns added together is fewer than 1,000 people. And right now they are traveling at least 7 miles to purchase their gas. And I think that this would be very helpful to the residents of those communities. And we urge support of the bill and hope you'll move it forward.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Roberts.
I just wanted on record, John, basically the mileage would then definitely exempt Portland, Salem, Eugene. That pretty well answers the urban.
That's correct, Mr. Chair, Representative Roberts. This is for rural communities who are at least 7 miles from the nearest retail station.
You could actually virtually have, and I'm giving a scenario of an individual that is just about out of gas and without a car lock, the station closed, could literally have to sit there and sleep in their car or the truck until the station opened. Yeah. Got it, right?
Or, Mr. Chair, Representative Roberts, until a good Samaritan would come along and help them buy gas. Yeah.
I don't think there is any out there.
Well, depends how tort reform is.
Not with the crime we got out there. That's moving.
Any others? Mr. Nelson.
Mr. Chair, Mark Nelson, Public Affairs Council, representing Southland 7-Eleven Corporation. As most of you know, we have been adamant opponents of self-serve gas in Oregon. We continue to be so. This bill does not allow self-serve in Oregon. It does allow to fix a particular problem in rural Oregon, and we believe it does not open, we believe very strongly it will not open the state to self-serve, and that is why we have concurred, made the agreement in the Senate with these amendments with Representative Lundquist and the cooperatives.
Representative.
If I might address a question to the Vice Chair. If we could ask you to address your amendments and what they would do and get the...
These three? I would be happy to do that.
These
eight.
Three?
This one. To these three.
Oh, to these... Oh.
It's a little hard to keep things clear.
Sure. Yeah, that's why there are three amendments.
For the committee, the A6 amendments, which you have, is a very narrow little amendment. It deals with the problem that I've been working at with in my district. We have a community golf course that has a small number, very few, gas-powered golf carts. There aren't a lot of them. And they've been working with the fire marshal trying to find a way to keep people from hauling 5-gallon cans of gasoline in their cars to take care of this. They have a card thing there, and they can't do it now. So the resolution to deal with it is to allow them,
Club. Did you say community golf course, country club?
Community golf course.
Or country club? Is it a country club?
It is a country club, but it is not exactly in the notion you would say.
That's a typical Democratic interest.
Well, Mr. Vice Chair, has your country club considered moving to electric golf carts, perhaps?
Representative, the country club has those. These are for some of the members who store them. Small number, special interest.
How
it's a try.
Well, it's
a public safety issue. We don't want these cars blowing up. So.
Do
you have an objection?
Can we stuff this in the Peter Jacobson Memorial?
Too late, we already
passed. We tried, but the relating clause wasn't wide enough.
This is
Mr. Chair, if I might, and I.
We're supporting country clubs.
Hey, Representative Watts beating up on my amendment.
I don't care.
I didn't beat up on your
chair. I'm self-service. Mr. Chair, I wonder if we could have a short recess so I could go call my country club and find out if there's some members.
I think your country club would appreciate it if you would support them on this. They would like to be surprised that you've gone out of your way to take care of their needs before they
would
have.
Would this cover my country club?
It would cover your country club.
It might take care of boaters on that dam.
Hey, different county, but different Mr. Chairman,
we could put it in the secondary lands bill. Excuse us, Mr. McCauley. Where were you before?
I was just ready to comment, Mr. Chair, on the dash A6 amendment to the bill. Of course, the committee is going to do what they will with the bill, and our agreement among the parties who worked on this is that we could not support any amendments to the measure as it came to you, and.
I'm not so sure they were contemplating this kind of amendment.
I don't think they were, Mr. Chair.
To some tweaker on maybe self-service that might slip into this thing. Not that we would do that. But I think they have some people that play golf at country clubs, too.
Nonetheless, Mr. Chair, we...
golf carts and paddle wrestling.
While it doesn't look like it will have a big impact, I guess that we had agreed that we couldn't support any amendments, and that, of course, you and your good judgment can take that for what it's worth.
And, Mr. Chairman, if I might, the danger of amending and going back to the Senate and all that is a very delicate balance we have here.
Mr. Chair. Do I hear them saying no amendments?
Right.
Well, no. They're trying to say that, but they're so skittish on this. They know that if we talked about self-service, the Cascade, or something self-serving like that, that we would get ourselves into big trouble in this country. They don't even want to put their toe in, right?
That's true.
I wonder if I might be able to ask another question with regards to this. Sometime in this process, as you all know, we are able to add those things and non-concur on the other side and go to a very short conference committee where they find their way out of the bill, and sometimes gives members who have... You've been unopposed, though, haven't you? No, forget it. No. Would you be opposed? I mean, you know, if we add the doggone thing here and non-concur on it, take it out of conference committee or something. This is a favor.
The major.
This is a nonpartisan effort.
I'll be outside when you vote on that amendment.
The main, sir, Representative Watt, Representative Baum, my main concern really is the fact that we put this agreement together with, I don't know how many different people, probably half a dozen different people, and it was very explicit. Don't mess with the bill.
Were you aware of the extreme need that the...
okay.
I want to know what this
representative. Okay, and we're not even in a work session. We didn't have a work session, did you? No, you don't do that.
We adjourned.
We adjourned. So it's all off the record. That's good. Do you have any more testimony?
No, and just that I want to make it plain, and I think I said it once, is that that section in there talks about for use. That will cover the lease vehicles as well, and that's we want that intent in there so that the fire marshal understands, and I understand, have been told that they already have that option and have had an attorney general, which I wasn't aware of, but this makes it absolutely sure that lease vehicles are legal.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Mike Sims, Mike Sherlock, Dale Eichen.
Are we keeping you up there, Senator Bump?
No, no, I'm sorry. I'm just lacking oxygen at the moment. The air gets pretty rarefied in here.
Is that a thin, like, all fish?
Yeah, in that kind of way. Delirium. Well, I obviously know that you gentlemen aren't up here to endorse the bill. Why don't you go ahead and begin with Mr. Sims?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Mike Sims, representing the Oregon Gasoline Dealers Association. Mike Sherlock is the OGDA's executive director. And we're here today to urge that you not pass Senate Bill 927 in the A engrossed version for three reasons, which I'll run very quickly by you. Number one, it will doom many retail stations by giving non-retail card locks an even greater competitive edge, as has happened in the past, and we're afraid that that will happen again as a result of any further liberalization of card lock laws. We're concerned about it actually possibly hampering fuel availability in many parts of Oregon, especially for visitors and for low-income motorists, particularly in isolated rural areas. And finally, it will allow the choice of self-service only to a select few dealers and customers who would qualify under the provisions of current law. We support the self-service option for all dealers and motorists and would encourage your nay vote.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Roberts.
I happen to be one of dozens. I will not support self-service. In fact, I've written it in blood to every lady in my district over the age of 50, I think, and I would never go home voting for it. But when you talk about it, and the bill's quite explicit with the mileage criteria in it, that we're not talking about a lot of people. We talk about a competitive thing. The reason these people need it is there's no competition out there. I mean, you've got 7 miles if you're... Well, you know what I'm trying to say. It's kind of hard to have a two-way conversation when you talk.
Sorry, Representative, I'm trying to...
Excuse me, Representative. No, but what he said was is that this is unfair competition, and I understand that's a fair disagreement on the issue. I think that we've got people out there in very rural areas that without this are put into a position that no one from my area would ever be put into because of the number of stations that are available for them to use and at various times. If you have a farmer coming in from a long run and all of a sudden realizes they need to fuel up and they can't get home and the stations are closed, they're going to sit there and sleep in their truck all day or all night. That for that safety and convenience,
I look at this as a positive move. Mr. Sherlock, then Mr. Eichen.
My name is Mike Sherlock. I'm the executive director of the Oregon Gasoline Dealers Association. To answer that question, everyone seems to be focusing on the change of the mileage from the 10 miles to the 7 miles. But the biggest problem we have is not that mileage thing. The biggest problem is the language that allows the use of card lock to fuel vehicles that are not owned by the businesses. In real life, what happened before these rules were put in place, these card locks were not supposed to be used for people's private individuals. All they had to do is say, yes, we're using it for business purposes. What really would happen would be you'd have the card would go to Junior, the high school student, and Dad would say, okay, Junior, you're using this for business purposes, wink, wink. And they'd be, we've got pictures of people filling up outboard power boats, that type of thing, ski boats, those things. And what this does is it liberalizes that part of the law that would make it virtually impossible for the fire marshal to be able to determine whether this gas is being used for business purposes or not. And when that happens, you're going to find a number of people who own businesses in whatever town, whether it's big or small, are going to start abusing this because they'll be able to, which will put a bigger burden on the legitimate retail service station that's in that town. As those people start using gasoline from card locks for non-business purposes, that'll be gas that should be bought by law from a retail station and won't be anymore.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
Representative Roberts,
if someone's at a station, a card lock, filling a boat, they're automatically in violation or not?
They are now, and what I'm saying is it's going to make violations like that even easier to make. I'd be interested to hear what Ms. Washburn has to say. I think it's going to make it very, very difficult for the fire marshal to enforce the rules as they are now. Currently, there has to be, they have to put gas on a vehicle that is used only for business purposes and is owned by the business. As they liberalize this, it's going to be really hard to determine which ones are used for business purposes and which ones aren't.
Okay, Mr. Dreisher.